Hello, hello, and welcome to episode 3 of season 2 of Mashing In. I'm one of your hosts, Stefan Turcotte, and alongside me,
Ed Kay.
And
Brian Tuslin.
Yeah, we're going to bring you all of the amazing.
We missed events. Last week due to unforeseen difficulties of holiday festivities.
Yes, so we bring the holiday episode today.
Yes.
Still, we're in that...
Two ahead. We brought some stuff.
Podcast on New Year's when everyone's listening to podcasts.
Yeah, exactly.
But we're in that, like, in-between zone, you know? Like the chode zone between Christmas and New Year's.
It is a chode.
Yeah.
So the chode, if you look at Urban Dictionary, chode, I think, is something different.
Yeah.
So we're not going to get into that.
That's the literary term would be like a liminal phase. Like we're nearly done with the holidays, nor like starting the holidays. We're in that phase, but...
I wonder if there's anyone that's got tickets to go out tomorrow and then they're going to see this drop and they'd be like, no, fuck that shit. I'm going to stay in and listen to this podcast.
Yeah. It's only 45 minutes.
So we should actually extend it to 4 hours tonight.
Yeah, so this is what if you really want something to do tomorrow, then we'll make this worth your while.
Yeah, if you want to sit at home and drink beer and listen to us talk and drink beer, then...
We're much funnier if you listen to this while drinking beer.
Yes.
Anyway. So we'll kick off with just a brief... talk about events, local events, then a little bit of news, and then we're going to jump into our beers for the week. They're loosely themed around this chode zone of the holidays.
Chode zone.
Yeah. Okay. Anyone go to any good beer events in the last week and a half, 2 weeks?
Ed and I were at the Great Notion one 2 nights ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes a Great Notion.
It was a Great Notion, yeah. At the Drake.
Was it?
Pop-up.
Oh, was it?
Five beers?
Yeah, five beers.
Is that where the bartenders just, like, suddenly appear with your drinks?
I was like, I got a little excited, like, oh, pop-up. Like, maybe, like, they got some gear. Then, I realized.
Oh, yeah, that's like a pop-up store or
pop-up
something.
Pop-up, you know, I mean, if you just got, like, five beers, it's just like, it's the same thing that Jester King did. Jester King launch of four beers. Thanks. Great. Awesome.
But I think this is pretty cool. Like, as much as, like, we kind of hate on... maybe too much stuff coming from the US that's not selling well. Great Notion is they're a pretty hip rockin' brewery. Then to see them here is pretty cool.
And we were talking about, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was gonna say one of the good things is none of those ones that were in kegs are ones that I've seen in cans around town.
Oh, so it's a different keg product came than can product.
Okay. The three can products were dynamite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the kegs were all great. And there is a few more kegs. There's a keg at Smith's right now.
Smith's has one called Return to Space?
Or? I think so, yeah. It's just a hop.
Okay.
But like...
It's good.
Just hops.
if you don't know Great Notion, like, they have been known to have some pretty full flavors. And they have been known to be at the forefront of the adjunct circle for breweries and for beers in the U.S. And they've been using a lot of, like, what a lot of hip breweries use is a lot of extracts.
Yeah, so they do the whole, like, kind of... for lack of like slushy line of like sours, so like heavily fruited, light, sweet, sour beers, and then pastry stouts. And that's kind of like the MO of the brewery.
But they're like, their extracts are like, heavily into their sours. Like, the biggest one they've ever had is the Blueberry Muffin.
Yeah.
Like, that is what kind of put them on the map, give or take.
The first one that blew my mind, my buddy got me a crowler of it, and I was just like,
that Costco
it smells
muffin,
like a Costco Blueberry Muffin.
Yeah, that's good. So. And, you know, it's nice to see that, like, at least with all, like, the rando adjuncts, the rando extracts they're putting in, you're still getting a full-flavored product. So you spend your money on the product, and you're getting something that is still, like, you know, you may not enjoy it as much, but, like, it's there to sort of facilitate a great need for a fun product. Whereas, you know, there's a lot of those other products around where we see that they have all these things that sounds like it would be great, and, like... just like, okay, that was fucking nothing.
Yeah. I think what I like about it, I couldn't really drink pints of Great Notion except their hoppy stuff. Like, the other stuff I like in small quantities.
Oh, man, that
ripe. I like the whimsy. Like, I think breweries, like, you can't hate on them. Like, this is fun. Like, as much as, like, oh, craft beer is dead and all this bullshit, like, this is a pretty fun time to be into beer when you have a beer that smells like a Costco Blueberry Muffin or smells like a stack of pancakes, right?
Yeah, like like smoky, bacony, breakfasty flavors. Yeah. Like, it's awesome. And you see people in Canada doing it too. Half Hours on Earth did like a version of that where there was like a maple sour. barrel-aged maple sour, and it was like insane, out of this world, like maple, like natural maple flavors, and like well-balanced sour, good wood, like it was great.
Yeah, when we were there, they had a chocolate blueberry sour or something that didn't look like it, sound like it was going to work, and it did.
This is at Half Hours?
No, this is at Great Notion.
Oh, yeah.
But they had coffee and maple and blueberry sour on it, the Drake.
Oh, did they?
Mm-hmm.
It's called Unbalanced Breakfast. It was really good.
Was it good?
Yeah, it was really tasty.
Cool.
Did any of you have Do You Know the Muffin Man by Backcountry?
Yeah. I got one in the fridge.
No.
I won't say too much about it, but very happy to see where their sour program is going.
Oh, okay.
I really, really did. And I think that they were trying to go into the route of Blueberry Muffin with that
I
beer.
I think if there's a brewery that's tipped to be our kind of Great Notion type brewery, I think Backcountry's a good call.
But they were always doing kettles, and they were always doing like their smoothie sours. They're fine, but they're just like juicy nothings that are not horrible tasting. Nothing against Backcountry. They do have really good hops. They really have, and their dark beers are phenomenal, but this Do You Know the Muffin Man really stepped it up.
Cool.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Looking forward, it is New Year's tomorrow as we record this. I know I'll do mine first. We're doing an event here at Il Sauvage. It's called Il Sauvage 2020. We got the boys from House Sausage coming, and they're going to be cutting a full leg of prosciutto up all night. Ooh. And then we've also got a live DJ, free charcuterie all night, and then we've got two kinds of Tilken on tap, so it's cool.
You've got the only Tilken Muir.
Yeah, I know. Muir real
good. In the province.
It's cool because this is like a tradition that Ian and I kind of started like 5 years ago, which was for New Year's goose and cheese.
Nice.
And so this is just like us trying to step it up as much as we can. And so now it's turned into all charcuterie and even more goose.
That's
so
sweet.
Yeah.
Well, that does sound very good, but I'd be more impressed if they were slicing a live DJ all night.
Ooh, yeah. Maybe we'll get the DJ to spin the prosciutto.
Yeah, there you go. I'm sorry that I can't attend your event.
No,
I will also be having an event at the Courtney Room. We still have tickets, or still have seats left for our 5 o'clock tasting menu, and we're doing two tasting menus, a 6-course and a 7-course. If you buy in, the 7-course is now sold out, but those people get to join us for a dumpling drop pop up cocktail party up until about 2 a.m. and those will get you a little toast at New Year's and a lot of great dumplings and food, and we'll keep you fed all night long.
So
nice. I'm also hosting a New Year's event. It's me in my apartment in my pajamas drinking barley wine while playing Luigi's Mansion.
Oh, nice.
Sick invite.
You can buy in. Just give me barley wine.
I was going to say $100 I'll buy in and three barley wines.
Oh, no. It's a deal with the devil.
Yeah. You have to bring all the variants.
Yeah. And then this weekend coming up, we have Wild and Sour at the Drake here in Victoria.
For those who don't know that event, like that's the Drake's event.
Yeah.
That is one of the best things. He saves a lot for that.
Yeah, I think he saved one of ours.
Sweet.
He cellared one of our beers that's going to be putting out, I hope. Yeah.
Doing it twice a year now as well, right?
Is he really?
Yeah, because we did the summer one. Okay, we're going to take a quick break when we come back. We've got just a little bit of beer news this week, and then we'll go on to our beer segment.
Okay.
Okay, welcome back, everyone. We're going to start our news segment. We're going to pare it down a little bit this week and maybe going forward. This week, I've brought an article, although saying the word article is very generous. It's more of like, it's kind of more of a story on social media. The whole thing was broken on Facebook and Instagram.
Hmm.
Anyway, this is news south of the border, but I think it kind of applies here as well. There's a brewery called 450 North out of Columbus, Indiana. They have this line of beers they call Slushy XLs, and basically they're like heavily fruited sours, but like the fruit isn't fermented out. Like they literally taste like slushies.
Huh.
And the ABVs on these beers range from like You heard this?
Yeah, keep going.
ABVs on the beers range from about 8% to about 10% ABV. And they trade, like, the four packs trade, they sell them at the brewery. People line up. Like, they're one of these breweries that has a lineup. They sell them for $20 US a four pack, and then people go on the secondary market and mark them up and everything.
Of course.
This guy that's a craft beer fan, I guess, that works at a lab, decided to start testing the ABV on some of these.
Oh.
And for the one that was supposed to come in at 8% ABV, the can came in at 2.56% ABV.
Huh.
And for the one that was supposed to be 10, it came in at like 3.something%. And then he had them sent to another lab because he showed screenshots of like what he was doing, and the company had to come out with like a whole thing saying, "We're sorry, we're going to handle this from the inside. We don't know how we got this whole wrong, but like it's insane. Like I don't even know how you
get just it that wrong. They just diluted it."
I don't know if it's foul play or just it's either foul play or just like complete brewing incompetence.
Like that's negligence though, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, like gross negligence. Like
that's super.
And they're basically assuming that 0% of the fruit they're adding is fermenting, and that's ridiculous. Yeah. The way we calculate, each fruit has its own like sugar content based on the fruit that we buy, and then how much you add to this much volume of beer. It's a pretty like
when I originally read that. Yeah. Article and I was going through it and I didn't like before it got to like it's 3%. I was thinking that like they were putting so much fruit in there that it like would shoot the ABV up.
I thought it was starting at 8 and they would right and they add fruit and they're like oh shit it kept fermenting it's now at 12 but no it's the opposite so I don't know there's that story
are they
that
even
came
fermenting
up.
It is the question
what
well the thing is like do they just mash do they like
but why would they do that like
It's like it could be just negligence. Like, is it stupidity enough? Like, you have to know how to brew something.
But the other thing I was thinking was maybe they're just adding like ice water or something to it, and just like watering it down before they add the fruit.
They actually add slushies instead of
something like.
Well, they adding like what fruit product are they? Because they doing like if it's a slushy, are they adding natural puree? Are they adding diluted puree? Like. Are they adding the diluted puree and water? Because, like, you know, like slushies, you add syrup to fucking slush.
It says
whatever.
Here in the article, this is actually from Good Beer Hunting, who I trust. They put down a nice little breakdown of kind of what happened because the company did get in hot water before this as well.
Oh.
Last year for something else. But yeah, so they said, what was your question, that last one? Sorry, Brian.
Are they, like, literally just adding the syrup and adding water to the syrup?
There are... They say they're adding fruit puree or fruit juice.
Okay.
Huh. But, again, like you said, it doesn't make any sense because you would assume that would creep the ABV up and not have it come in 25% of the stated ABV.
Like, are they literally just adding slushies to it?
I don't know. As a brewery, though, when you're mashing in, like, how bad of a brewer do you have to be to get that bad efficiency? That's why I'm
there's
thinking
there's gotta be some sort of negligence. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I don't want to like call someone out on negligence, but like that's fucked up for some shit like that to happen.
No, and I thought this was worth mentioning because our rules in BC and in Canada, it's complete honor system.
Mm-hmm.
Any ABV that you see on a product is 100% down to that brewery saying that it's that. We have to submit all of the stuff to the liquor board and they approve it, but they don't take like the rest of the grain bill and like try and calculate it out that much.
Right.
And so there's no actual oversight for ABVs.
But they actually then where like are they using a broken meter then? Like how like they
you have
can't
to be that far off with a broken meter. Like if like the any brewer where there's weight in salt like knows that you need about this many pounds of grain to hit about this much sugar to get this much ABV. Like, if you're making an imperial stout, pretty much got to double your grain bill. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so if you're trying to make an 8% beer, like, you can't go into the mash with two bags of malt or something. Like, that's just...
So then they're doing something like that.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you would have to take a reading. Like, if you would take a reading, and you would automatically know where you're at. Like,
yeah.
That is just...
They could have just been making up to sell more.
Yeah.
Who knows, man? I mean, everyone needs a gimmick these days.
I wonder how many people are drinking those 10% ones or 10% ones.
So wasted right now.
Yeah, bro. Oh my God, bro.
Yeah. So in the States, it says here that the law is that it has to be within 0.3% of the actual range, although no one checks up on this.
Right.
The funny thing was, is when I owned a brewery in Korea, every 6 months or once a year? I think it was once a year. All the recipes we had registered, we had to submit.
Mm-hmm.
And they tested them, and we had to be within 0.5% of our stated ABV.
Makes sense.
Dang, so we were anal about it there because it was like, shit, we have to be... Because it was a fine or like possible closure and stuff if you were too far outside. Yeah.
Wow.
I know, it's...
It's a little intense.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of a crazy thing, though, because for the most part, like, brewers are incentivized to have it correct because, like, it's a consumer buying your product. That's what they expect. And, like, you want to deliver that. If you under-deliver...
2 and 3% that you're not aiming for, that's weird.
Yeah, I don't know. And the fact that...
Like, when I was in Seattle, like, a lot of the... I got some Tired Hands. I got some American Solera. Like, there's some really great beers. They were all advertised as 2%. Or 4% or 3 or 4%, like they're like grossly under for like 750 like saison styles, and like I know that that's something people are striving for, but to advertise 8.5 2, like that's just you've missed something there.
Mm.
But what do I know? I'm no proof for a living, so
yeah. Okay, well, all
right.
Well, that's it for our news this week. When we can come back, we're going into the holidays. We're continuing the holidays.
Yeah. We're getting all those holiday beers that you didn't get to try.
Yes.
Still plenty on the shelves.
Okay.
Except for Brass Neck.
You got them.
I bought all the Brass Neck boxes. There might be one left.
Okay, and welcome back to the third runnings, our third segment here on this bi-weekly episode of Mashing In, or tri-weekly.
Just for those people who weren't involved in the... We've actually gotten a little behind in this because we were just talking to the House Sausage guys for about 25 minutes about tomorrow.
They don't know that. It was like a 10-second break.
A little 10-second break for those people who realize that there was actually a bit more of a break in between that. And it's really shaping up for a fun party tomorrow.
Yeah. Swords, I hear.
Swords.
There will be swords.
Yeah. But that's an Ian thing.
Yes. So this week we decided to pick like loosely themed holiday beers, but it actually is a section of the BJCP. What? It's a recognized style. Yeah. So section 30 is spiced beer, and then 30C in the BJCP is winter seasonal beer. So it's a seasonal winter beer that uses, you know, spices that are common with, you know, seasonal baking. So, yeah, things like Christmas cookies, Christmas pudding, evergreen trees, mulling spices. The base styles of the beers are usually malty in profile with balanced presentation and aromatics so that the spices and other specialty ingredients can kind of shine through.
Hmm.
So, yeah, essentially the guideline is to pick, like, your maltier, sweeter beers, and then pair them with these things that you would bake or cook with.
Mm-hmm. I'm already seeing a massive problem in our lineup. There's no Lion's Winter Ale.
We should have got one, yeah. No.
Someone fucked up.
We did.
We all did.
They haven't put those in tall cans yet, have they?
Okay, so who brought this, our first one?
I brought a Bad Dog from Souk. It's their Sweater Weather Winter Ale. Gotta say the dog on the cover doesn't look bad. He's like a good boy.
He's a little beagle.
He looks like the goodest boy.
He's a goodest boy.
This, it's got a whole thing on the side.
Sweater weather, isn't there?
Blah, blah, blah. There's another beer. Spiced beer ale to warm your heart. Sweater weather, isn't it? It's probably a pretty common name. It's got sun. Rewind. Cinnamon, nutmeg, other secret spices.
Secret spices?
Oh, God. It's okay. Secret. This winter ale is sure to satisfy your thirst after walking the crisp cold air. Doesn't have a style apart from that. So let's just find out.
Yeah.
Let's see if you
can see what color.
Whoa. Whoa,
she's this spit in my backpack.
She's an angry.
Well, the head looks dark.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't think I've had a spice winter ale in a very long time.
Do you guys like drinking these type of beers over the winter?
I used to go ape shit for Lion's Winter Ale when I was like 2012 when I moved I moved here. A friend of mine who still was a good friend of mine in Vancouver, he's like, you gotta try these Vancouver Granville Lion beers, and I was like, okay. And he's like, this is so super...
Isn't it just cocoa and vanilla?
Something like that. Yeah, it's mostly vanilla, and there is light spice, but...
This has got a nice aroma to it. It does. It's got a very Christmas baking smell to it. I'd say, what is it? Like a
natural
dark,
clove.
It's a dark brown ale.
Yeah.
I smell a little bit like...
Is it cardamom as well?
Yeah, maybe.
I'm guessing spice. Or just some allspice.
Yeah, a little bit of allspice, a little bit of clove.
Yeah, and it's just, to me, it's tasting like a malty brown ale with spices.
There is cardamom on that, I think.
Yeah.
It's nice. It's not bad, actually. As far as these beers go, I mean, definitely like a taster beer.
Something you can just share with someone.
No, yeah. But these are awesome for like this time of year where you've got some cookies to munch on and you can open a beer like
those
this.
Those cookies.
Oh, sorry, I forgot the cookies.
My favorite was the Nitro Merlin with the little brown butter cookies that they made for it. Oh, my God, that was really good.
Oh, I had that. I don't know if they've done it again, but Driftwood made that milk stout with the really long name that started with an O.
Oumuamua.
Yeah, and that goes incredibly well with dessert as well. It's a very nice beer.
Yeah, Oumuamua is classic.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just my best up as an impulse buy. And
wow.
They should build, like, little... like beer impulse like shelves by the cabinets.
Well,
like
Cascadia gum. Uptown has done that. They have a bucket now with some ice in it by the table with like glass cans.
I do that. And Langford does that too. Yeah. And I've bought in several. Oh, I'll get one of those. Sure. The modern times in here. Yeah, it's 17 months old. It's fine.
You can only buy these apart from the tasting room at Cook Street. I'm pretty sure. I don't think anyone else stocks them.
I haven't seen too much.
Yeah, because, well, there's a relationship there, right?
Mm-hmm. Glenn.
Wow. Oh, I heard the story. They got in trouble initially because of that. Oh,
really?
Really?
There's certain rules in the BC Liquor Act that prohibit, like...
Oh.
You're not supposed to give any favoritism to sell to certain places.
Oh.
And they had made a mistake of putting it in their business plan that, you know...
That was it.
But it's kind of strange because, like, that's the way that sales work. Like, anyone that's ever worked in sales knows that, like, it's all about relationships. Like, without relationships, it's just random buying.
Yeah. How do you think you coped it so well on the island?
Random buying.
Now, maybe.
But they do have one, but they don't prefer them or anything like that.
I'm pleasantly surprised by that, actually.
I could drink a full can of that myself, I think. Yeah.
I think, you know what I like about it? It's in the aroma, but it's not overspiced in the flavor.
Nope. Yeah.
And, like, some of these spices, you have to be so... Like, cinnamon and cloves, especially both of those, for me, if you go, like, one step over the line, it's almost undrinkable.
I find a lot of these winter ales, especially, they're very sweet. And this is not sweet. It's really nice.
No, but it's malty, which is nice.
It is. There's that roastiness this must be really fresh because, like, the spices are really nice with it. It
just came out this week, I think.
Oh, yeah. It's good. So
just Christmas week.
It's a winter, bad dog. Nice work.
What did you think of your Christmas cream ale?
What's a Christmas cream ale?
I haven't drank it yet.
You haven't drank it yet?
No.
Because
North Paw. I had saved it for our original one. Mm. And I read that. When I read it today, I'm like, this has nothing we're going to talk about today. So I'm not going to bring that.
It's got spices in it.
Does it have spices in it?
It's got some weird ingredients.
It has lemonade in it. One of the ingredients was lemonade.
Potassium.
Lemonade and potassium.
I was like...
But no cream ingredients.
Well, like what form of potassium?
I think I remember the can last year said potassium sorbate, maybe. But now it just says potassium.
That's weird.
Which seems weird because you're not going to just dump raw potassium into a liquid that's going to have very bad results.
It's a compound for sure. It's not just potassium.
It's such a weird concept for something called cream.
Full can.
So who brought this?
I brought this too. This is another holiday beer from Ravens.
Okay.
It's called Holiday Chart Topper. It's a spiced Belgian ale.
Ooh.
Looks like they took a little page out of the Yellow Dog winter beer.
I prefer this sweater though. If I was going to pick one of them as a sweater, I'd wear this one. Got the nice navy and red theme going on.
No, the color schemes is, you know, for what I can tell us.
No other real details on that, other than that by joining this holiday brew, you're supporting the Abbotsford Canucks Place Children's Hospice.
Right.
So we're
Children's Hospice?
Hospice.
Jesus.
So it's just this Belgian ale?
Spiced Belgian ale.
Yeah, so this one's pouring like a copper to light brown with like a light tan head. maybe Belgian double, I would guess, is the base style.
Yeah.
Because it's definitely not a Belgian single or a triple.
Yeah, it's what, 7%, so yeah.
Whoa, this is heavy on the cardamom, I think.
Gingerbread.
I think there is.
Huh.
This has got a really, like...
is it also has a cola flavor to me, too.
Like, weird.
Yeah, lime or something as well.
Huh.
Like, there's something, like, citrusy, I guess.
Something bright.
Very different.
Oh, you're right. Cola is a good call, but cola is like a mix of, like, cinnamon.
Sarsaparilla. It's almost that sarsaparilla, maybe.
Yeah. So there's no list of ingredients?
No.
Normally, you, like, you're supposed to list, especially because they can be allergens, right?
Oh, right, yeah.
Maybe there's children's hospice in this. It kind of looks like spice on the label, right?
Oh, hospice.
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 Oh, God.
What's the difference between Santa Claus and Tiger Woods? Santa stopped at three hoes.
Ooh. I thought you were going to say hospice.
One that we don't have here that I tried that I actually really liked on Christmas Day was an Imperial Porter. It's a gingerbread Imperial Porter from Persephone. I really like ginger, and it tasted just like a gingerbread cookie.
Oh yeah,
right.
It was good. But gingerbread man, without
I don't mind a little gingerbread flavors and like sweetness. In the
you were able to catch it though.
Yeah.
Do you know the muffin man?
Oh, God,
we're talking about a different man here.
But the gingerbread man was the one who they asked.
Another good one I tried, which we also don't have, was the mint stout from Moody Ales. It tasted like mint chocolate chip ice.
Oh, mint, nice. Mint in beers really fucking freaks me out.
It's a hard one. Like, I don't think, because I've brewed before and I haven't liked it that much, because you can't just really dump like whole mint leaves or crushed mint leaves into a fermenter. Like, you pretty much have to use some sort of extract. I think
it was definitely, yeah. Well, there was a share this from the brewery they had at the Drake.
Mint chip?
Sorry, the mint chip one.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's Smith's. But it tasted like peppermint or spearmint. But they actually, when I looked it up, they did actually add like actual spearmint to it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
whereas the Moody Ale was the one I was like, that's definitely some mint extract.
But when you're trying to get to that.
But yeah, it wouldn't taste like mint choc ice cream without that, yeah.
Yeah. And like, what is the flavor of a candy cane? Like, it's the flavor of extract, right? Yeah. So if you're trying to mimic a lot of holiday things, right?
Yeah. I'm going to open the next one.
Okay.
This one?
I brought this one.
Yeah.
So I think this is the newest Bricks and Play-Doh from Mount Aerosmith, which is like their kind of Belgian series that they wax dip in 750ml bombers. But this one is a holiday-themed one with like, it's got chocolate and orange, and the base beer is a Belgian double. It intrigued me.
The coolest thing I've ever seen. It is a wax cap, but it has a little pull tab on it.
Also, look at the quality of that wax. Like, they're getting top drawer stuff there.
It's got an interesting smell even on the glue there.
You've never seen the pull tabs in the wax before?
No.
I think Maker's Marks have them all now.
And that's beautiful.
That's genius, yeah.
I just did a whole thing on wax caps for...
Just get the lighter, light it up, and then you crack.
Well, my argument is, when you're like three or four barley wines deep,
and you're getting
a lighter or a knife,
it's a child.
It's pretty dangerous situation.
But that's why it's there. It's a safety cap. You don't need to open that.
Maybe after the 17th barley wine, you don't need to drink it. Exactly. Are you really tasting the barley wine? If you're drinking the same barley wine the whole time, then that's different. If you're trying to let like 20 different barley wines, like, what's the point? You're going to be done after the
barley wine festival.
We're not doing a barley wine episode, are we?
You want to do it before weathered or what?
I think we should have like Imperial Stouts, Lambics, and...
We've done Lambics.
Just
like a combo.
We haven't done Imperial Stouts, have we? I don't think yet.
No, we have not.
I think we've been afraid to do it. After some of these nights have really gotten us a little...
We'd have to do it like earlier. Think.
We'd have to like almost have like
a special event,
a bunch of people here with us to help us out with them.
Sure,
that'd be chaos though. Like everyone just like talking at the same time.
Everyone keep it down.
It's kind of chaos with three of us sometimes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this one's pouring a little bit lighter, crystal clear though. A nice, really nice copper color.
I like that smell.
It smells like
Terry's chocolate orange.
I get a lot more orange though up front. The orange is really bright. It almost smells like zest. Orange zest.
It probably is a whole bunch of peel.
That's good. I like it.
It's really amazing how that peel, that like really freshness, that almost that oily orange comes through.
There's a product out there.
There is?
And I used it when I worked for another brewery in town. And it comes out of Florida.
Yeah.
And you literally add like 50 mils to a 1,000 or 2,000 liter tank.
Jeez. Oh. It's an extract?
It's an extract, but it's an extract of the rind.
Mm.
So instead of zesting, you can get it, and it gives you this... I'm 80% confident it's in this beer. Just because, like, when you're brewing on big sizes, like, I don't... Well, maybe they could have added fresh orange zest as well. But it has this similar, like, really bright orange zest nose to it.
So that's a lingering, like, flavor. Yeah. Like, that's not dissipating.
I don't know if you ever had Phillips Citricity.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That is 100% the grapefruit version of that company's zest extract. Because you open a can, and it's like... Half the room can smell the grapefruit, right?
It's highly flammable.
Yeah. But they're very concentrated extracts, and they're made from real zest. Like, basically, these are juice producers that are making juice out of, like, grapefruits and oranges, but then they use the rinds to make these.
It almost has, like, so there's a really weird rotten flavor, aroma, and taste that oranges can get to a, when they get to a certain extent, and this is kind of has it. You get that fresh... Bright.
I can't believe how fresh it smells, though.
But I have this, like, almost nostalgic, like, I had this issue, like, old, like, clementines when I used to get, like, a whole bag of clementines and you get a few of them. This is
cool. I'm not getting a lot of chocolate, though, are you?
No, well, like a subtle hint of it. It's definitely more orange, though.
Yeah.
No spices, though.
Hmm?
No spices.
Well, there's Belgian yeast, which is, like, the whole spanner you can throw in the works here. Well, you're from Australia anyway, so you wouldn't know that expression. Yeah, but Belgian yeast throws off its own mix of clove and, you know, banana bread at some point. So sometimes the spice can just be coming from yeast, pretty much.
That's true.
So I don't get a lot of spice on this, though. Like, to me, it's pretty much orange zest.
Mm-hmm. Which I actually don't hate about this beer. I get, like, the deepness from the rest of the beer, and the chocolate probably adds to that. So that's really kind of nice, but it's a really refreshing product.
Yeah, for a Belgian double, it is refreshing. Like, sometimes they can get a little bit sticky and heavy and chewy, and I think that's maybe what I was expecting with this. I thought it would be almost like a darker Belgian double so that it would mimic a Terry's chocolate orange.
Yeah.
Because there's that Whistler Brewing one. Mm-hmm. Is it Whistler Brewing?
Oh, yeah.
It is the chocolate orange dunkel.
Whistler does.
Yeah, in the bomb room. Yeah. People go crazy for it.
They're in six packs.
I was working at the Cascadia two Christmases ago over that period. People were buying it by bombers by the case.
Yeah.
God.
And the chestnut ale comes out too, and then people lose their shit.
Oh, God. Yeah.
It's like.
I was in the store the other day, and there was two girls looking for it.
How's the chestnut ale? It's
the best beer I've ever had. Oh my God. I hate beer, but that chestnut ale.
Get it every time. And I get some White Claw, and I'm good.
Yeah. You guys taste that chestnut? Really?
Never liked chestnuts. My mom would always buy them. Like, people have sell them in the streets in England.
Yeah, yeah.
Wearing, like, old-timey clothes and stuff.
Oh, you guys visited England as a child?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
That was actually one of the only things I liked about chestnuts is that my family would roast them, and my dad would cut them up with me, and we'd eat them out. And, like, I really liked, like, the dark roasty parts of that with a touch of sweetness. Like, that's what I like about chestnuts. But
I hate them.
So you know what? When I lived in Korea, what I loved there in the streets, they did the same things with mini sweet potatoes.
Oh.
And they have these street side roasters over the winter period, and you're like cold, and you're like, I want a warm snack, and there's this, like, smoky roasted mini sweet potato.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, they're so good.
I would actually.
I never like chestnuts either, though. The texture is a little bit unappealing to me. But.
I'm not a huge fan of, like, the texture of most nuts, almonds. Yeah.
What about these nuts?
Oh, gosh.
Sorry, I'm just getting over a sickness and getting back to full health. It's very fun. Yeah. Almonds?
I love almonds.
Almonds are
great. Yeah, that's the one exception.
Walnuts?
Okay. No. I don't like those at all.
Yeah.
What about macadamia?
Not
macadizima.
Really. Some nuts are, like, kind of in a paste in things.
Have you ever had the Tim Hortons?
Marzipan.
Have you had the Tim Hortons white chocolate macadamia nut cookie? Go get one. You're welcome.
But aren't they,
it's
like,
so good.
Is it?
It's still, so bad. It's so good.
Are they still good?
You know what I order at Tim Hortons for a snack? Carrot cake muffin.
Interesting.
Inside. The muffin is the cream.
They love doing that.
I love it, too.
Or is the fruit explosion muffin I used to get all the time. That's what I originally thought the blueberry was about. Because and then Costco basically was copying that whole style of, like, extract muffins. Yeah. Tim Hortons is... like drastically lost a lot of its quality, but man, it's so nostalgic. Like I go there once a month to get a fucking wrap. Like chicken chipotle wrap. One please.
Really?
Yeah, it's ready in 3 minutes. Like, I don't even
think... You're a chef at a nice
restaurant. I know, it's so bad.
It reminds me of when I went back to the UK, and like, what, really drunk, like, oh, I've got to get a kebab and chips. Yeah. But eating I don't in bed, get... like, this is awful. Oh, God, what am I doing?
So but I, when I moved to the UK, and I had my first kebab, I was like, it was traumatizing. Because my buddies there were like, yeah, let's go for a kebab, and I'm like, yeah. This is what we do in England. And it's fucking a just stupid amount of shitty meat.
Yeah.
Like, the amount of meat they put on half of it. And they're like, yeah, you want salad with it? And I'm like, yeah, salad sounds good. And it's just, like, cheap lettuce.
Yeah, it's like a little bit of iceberg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I just couldn't believe how much meat they put in it.
Like, oh, yeah. It's
I like how that's the norm for lettuce wraps these days, too.
When we went back last time, they gave us, like, the smallest pita bread. But like the meat would have fit into like four of them. Like, you need a good big piece of bread, but yeah.
Yeah.
The place where I used to live for a while, they used to do chips in bread if you didn't like the meat. So you just get a pita bread full of meat with the garlic sauce and like, well, yeah.
You're making that's me carbs really and carbs. I love that.
Okay. Our next beer was brought to us by Brian Tesla.
Yes. What were we gonna say? One of what?
I'll just read the description.
One of the worst people.
One of Justin Bieber's friends.
Yes.
Did you see in the news, Justin Bieber came out and called out Tim Hortons for their changing coffee lids?
What?
So, Biebs apparently likes his, Beliebers.
Yeah.
Never
say never. Never say never. With coffee lids.
Yeah. Well, baby.
Yeah. Yeah. He's hung like a donkey. Leave him alone.
Everyone is. So apparently he doesn't like the new lids. The new lids are like those, you know, Starbucks style ones. Yeah. He prefers the old ones. I kind of agree with him on this. We disagree on a lot of other things, but
the whole point of the whole point of Tim Hortons is, you know, underlying racism and those lids.
But underlying racism and yet employing every single landed immigrant in the country. Like, it's insane.
Yeah.
I love it. Like, I think it's great. I just feel so bad for them that their first experience in Canada is dealing with the worst white people in Canada.
Oh man, yeah. I stood in line one day and I'm like, how is this going so slow? It's like, you know what you're gonna get. Like, just order it and get the fuck out of the way. Like, sorry, I have an issue with people.
When you've got a 3 minute pita to get or a 3 minute wrap to get.
I got places to be and I don't eat a lot during the week. So when I go somewhere knowing that I want food, I can get it really quickly.
Okay. Like, what's in our glass right now?
We're drinking an Apfelstrudel. Doppelbock.
Good.
From, again, I butcher this. Is it Uche? It's the one with the owl.
Uche.
We're going to get comments. We're going
to
get
some. We'll have to get Andrew Simpson involved in this. He might be able to. He speaks German.
No, he doesn't. He lived there and doesn't speak German.
Think they're German? They're from the Netherlands.
The Netherlands. Even then.
Apfelstrudel is German, but they're from the Netherlands.
So it's Doppelbock.
So it's a Doppelbock. Mm-hmm. Let's see here. There's a very lengthy description. They use the word prelapsarian for us, which I don't really. I know what prolapse is. And
well, in what context?
Don't Google it. Don't Google it. God. Blah, 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 blah. Pick the apples, bake them into a creamy Australian pastry with vanilla, raisins, and cinnamon. Got the best German malts and hops. Get it down the rabbit hole. Drink this potion. You'll soon be consulting caterpillars, organizing mad tea parties, and playing crochet with the queen.
So there's some acid in there? Hmm? They put acid in the beer?
Yeah, because like, this sounds like Alice in Wonderland.
This is
like,
quite trippy. It's
11%, isn't it?
I mean, it's...
good thing it's a pastry, tiny bottle.
Yeah.
It's a pastry doppelbock.
Yeah.
It's a German pastry stuff.
I had this after... I bought one a while ago when I was in Vancouver from someone up at the Gull Liquor Store. And he likes it. This one's great. Like, out of all the beers he had everybody kicking around. And he's like, yeah, this one's actually really good. You should try this one. I'm like, cool. And I just did a trade with him for like a whole bunch of your beer for a whole bunch of Cole-esque beer.
Oh, cool.
And he's like, here, take this. I was like, okay. And it sat in my fridge for, I shit you not, probably 6 months. He's like, I don't want to drink a Doppelbock. And then one night I cracked it. I'm like, holy fuck, I should have drank this a long time ago. This is so good.
Shout out to the beer monger.
We miss you.
Yeah.
How's it going?
Back in Australia.
He's back in Perth. He's back in the most inaccessible place.
Really?
In the
it's pretty sad. Having dealt with the Canadian immigration system.
Okay. A lot of friends go in and out of that and really have a hard time, and it's not cool.
Yeah. My wife and I had a decent time with it. I don't know.
Just marry someone.
Is there coconut in this?
Yeah, married, right?
Is there coconut in this?
No, it's vanilla, I think.
There's some really toasty, interesting...
Yeah, I think the smell's really cool. It does smell like a mince pie, apple pie type thing.
Mm. Mm. On the subject of other holiday spice beers that aren't on the show that I have drunk recently, they have a Fulans?
Yeah.
Sure. They have their holiday quad, I think, at Vintage. It's pretty cheap, too. So, like $15 for $7.50. Yeah.
You know what I was looking for today, and I couldn't find it. I went out on a few spots, was the Delirium Noel.
Oh, yeah.
Have you had it? Yeah.
That's a red one, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, funny story. And Paul from Vessel, I love you. I went to go pick up a bunch of beers one day, just before.
So when you say you love someone, that means you're going to shit all over them.
No, but the story goes, is like, I was talking to Paul about a bunch of beers, and I was putting together a Victoria-based 12 Days of Christmas while I was doing the Brass Neck 12 Days of Christmas. And
I'm going to come back to this.
He was helping me get in the cream and a few of the Phillips beers that I had picked out for that one.
Because your goal was to try and have a different Victoria brewery?
Yeah, I wanted to, so I had the 12 Days of Brassnick, and then I wanted to have... I wanted to really promote the beers that are really awesome coming from the island. Victoria itself, but then you, like I had the CDA from White Sales, and I ended up didn't get through a lot of it because I worked too much. And anyway, so Paul was helping me out, and he was trying to sell me a bunch of beers, and he kind of pulled over the Delirium mini keg that's like $75. Like, oh yeah, those are great too. I'll take those, are always great to have, you know. And then I started like grabbing a few other things, and he's helping me pick other things. And then we're walking, I had like 2-4 packs in a bomber or whatever, walking over to the counter, but he still had the Delirium thing in his hand. And I'm like, oh no, Paul, I was joking, I don't want that. So then I'm like, well, I'll come back now and buy. He's like, well, you have to come back and buy two. And I'm like, oh.
So. That's, yeah, I've seen those. They've got them at Strath as well. Mm-hmm. I've always seen them. Like, if you want to invite a few people over to get really fucked up in one night, that's a good way to go. Yeah.
So, my mom does this lemon curd dessert with a kind of like a, almost like a shortbread non-sweet cookie.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And with Delirium Tremens, it's
so nice.
Oh my God. That sounds amazing.
I know. It's like the perfect dessert with the perfect beer. Like, it's not a beer that I want to drink, like... And, in fact, you can just take a couple of bottles and share them among four people. It's just nice to have that splash of that beer, because that's a great beer.
I went to their, I would say even... This is a Foma.
Is this an old one or a fresh one? By the way, he's opening a bottle. Is this a new one or an old one?
This is 2016.
Oh, that's why. Okay. This is 3 years old now, but guess what? In a couple days, this will be over a decade old.
Yep, that's going. Use another glass. Oh, God. Yep, I don't know what to do here.
That's fine. There we go. So who brought the two-year-old ale?
I bought it today.
You bought it today?
Three.
It's 2016. It's 4 years old.
Sorry.
Yeah.
A decade plus 2 years.
Because 2019 just came out.
The good people at Cook's Liquor Store had it, and I grabbed it. Because I think I have another one kicking around somewhere, but...
Bring an expired beer.
Expired? Expired.
So, my experience with this beer, I think it has coriander and pear in it, right? Mm-hmm. I found that over time, the pear comes out more and more because of the Brett.
Uh-huh.
And Brett, like, pear is like something that Brett can add to.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I would expect this to be heavier on the pear than the coriander.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know.
Oh yeah, you don't have it.
Thank you. I love this beer. So. I've been buying it, like, I kind of buy one a year and just tuck them away.
Was 5 their one last year? No.
What?
So they had 5. They have Anno every year, but last year they had 5. Was 5 the one last year, or was that?
No, they still did Anno.
They still did Anno. Okay.
I just picked one up for tomorrow for New Year's. Gonna crack it with West Valletta and 12.
Westy 12?
Yeah. Westy, eh?
How'd you get a Westy 12?
I went to Belgium.
Oh,
yeah. And bought one there.
I think Andrew drank a Westy 12 the other day.
We had the 8 the other day, too. I had an 8 and a 12.
Oh, yeah?
You drank a fucking St. Lamb Grand Cru the other day, too.
Yeah.
Anyway, we don't talk about what Andrew's doing right now. Whether that guy knows anything. So.
He doesn't know anything.
Oh. This is great. The NOs, in my opinion, have been every year they've been different, but they've been great.
I think it's the best beer they make, and I wish.
I don't know. Antwerpen's pretty fucking good.
I wish they would make more of this.
Yeah,
but
there's
I mean,
a lot of really good beers from Daggerhead.
Yeah, I know, but I find that a lot of them taste the same. So I'm just gonna order one of them, like the blonde, because I like that one. Mm. I don't really need the other stuff. Not that they're not a good brewery. But I feel like this one is where they are a great brewery.
Yeah, 100%.
Quite like the other one they have out right now for the holiday season, the Irresolution.
Okay,
and
I haven't
tried
it.
They just use leftover hops that they have from different things in the year, and they just make
right.
something.
There was another Daggerhead beer
like
that
different
they,
every time.
They tried.
Oh, cool idea.
There's one with the peacock on, and they were trying to sell me that one too. That looks really. That would look really good too.
We went for Christmas dinner at Karen's parents' house, and I was just like. We should take a beer because they won't have any alcohol. And I grabbed out the fridge the newest, what's the limited series that you call the tasting room only one? God damn it.
Entrails? No.
I'll look on my Instagram.
Okay.
Look at my pictures.
For Daggerhead?
Fill the space.
This is a great food beer, by the way, that we're drinking right now. This Anno?
Yeah, that.
And their NOs change every year. Like they do a different. They usually do a mixed culture or at least a Belgian style, and then they usually have either a different adjunct or I mean, a couple years ago.
No, I think it's always coriander and pear.
Are you sure?
Yeah,
as far
so.
As I remember, yeah.
Yeah. Entropy 11 is what we.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Beautiful.
Entropy, not
so that's at Cook Street Liquor too, right now.
So it's the lemon saison, and they aged it in bourbon barrels, and it tastes like an old fashioned.
Oh, nice.
It's really nice.
Cool.
Yeah. Or a whiskey sour. Sorry. Yeah.
Anyway, so this one is the one that's kind of like not like all the others tonight, I guess, because this is. The other ones have all been like malty and, you know, spice forward.
Nah.
Although, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But this one is, you know, a spice beer in a totally different way.
Yeah.
I mean, I've actually liked all the beers tonight.
We've had three Belgian-style beers, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're right. Well.
What are we right about?
About the pear and coriander.
Mm-hmm. A broken clock is right twice a day.
The pears come from different areas, though.
Well, I mean, you're not going to get the same pear every year. The coriander also comes from different areas.
No, it's always Indian.
I mean, some, there's other coriander, too.
I know.
But in brewing, you almost always use Indian coriander. Mm-hmm. Just because Indian coriander has a nicer citrus note.
Huh.
So
there you go.
Any beer should have Indian coriander. If you're not using it, you're going to get hot dog water. So if you've ever had a beer...
That makes sense.
Have you ever had... So this happened to me. So as a Cicerone, I sometimes get thrown weird questions, right? When people find out about it. And this one bartender who knew I was... Yeah, he was like, I got this question for you. And I said, okay. And he's like... My sister and I, we drank down to drink this. I won't tell the beer. And she told me, she's like, I can't drink it. She pushed it away. It tastes like hot dog water. And he's like, what the hell was that? Because we didn't know what the hell she was talking about. And I looked it up, and it was like, oh, hot dog water, the main spice in hot dogs is not spice. It's coriander. And it's non-Indian coriander. And so that flavor...
Mm-hmm.
Is people associate with shitty hot dogs.
Huh.
And so it can, an overuse of coriander can really lead to that as well.
Makes sense.
So
there you go.
I didn't know the answer to the question when he asked me, and I went and looked it up at home, and I'm like, I ran back to him, I'm like, it was the coriander in the beer. That's it.
Yeah, it can offer some like weird funk. That's probably why a lot of people don't like cilantro, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're the same plant, right?
Mm-hmm. But it's just a fresher version and can provide those weird, like, dirty flavors that people don't want to have. Whereas I love
some
cilantro.
People say it's
soapy, right? Is what I've heard as well.
It's
like
a lot of, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So, holiday beers.
Yeah.
They're great. Actually, these have been great tonight. Yeah.
We've had winners, for all of them. Yeah. So if you can pick up any more Annos, like, do it. Like, they're all showing really well. I like having a lot of them in stock at my house, so you should grab them more, but...
Are you selling now?
No.
Secondary they're market. For a
drink. Oh, he's a shitlord now. Oh, no.
Slumlord.
For beer, it's shitlord. Sorry.
Is it shitlord for beer?
Yeah, it is shitlord.
Oh, okay. I guess I'm a shitlord.
Yeah. Shitlord status achieved.
Hey, everybody's got to be something.
Exactly.
Anyway,
cool.
Happy New Year to everyone. Hopefully some of you listen to this before the New Year, but if not, then after that, Happy New Year.
Sure. So we assume that in 2020, things are amazing.
Yeah.
Like Trump's gone, flying cars, right?
Have you seen the whole...
climate crisis.
Have you seen the whole thing?
Yeah.
Have you seen the real, like, the biggest, like, most important thing happening right now for New Year's Eve?
No.
It's like, it's the Ramones New Year's Eve. It's 2020, 24 hours ago.
Okay.
So, or is the day after?
My question is, do you want to be sedated?
Dude, I'm mildly at the moment.
I would love that.
Yes. Cool. Where can we find you, Brian?
You can find me at How I Handle My Vices, dots between each word, posting here and there, and at the Courtney Room, cooking up some fun things. Your counterpart Ian here at the brewery loves coming for our fried chicken sandwiches. So.
Apparently.
He's
your best customer.
He's my best customer. Yeah.
Do you have to cut him off sometime?
No, he's great. He's super cool.
The great thing about the Courtney Room, they don't cut anyone.
They don't cut
anyone.
Well. I'm just that busy. So.
Ed, where do we find you?
I'm all over the place.
All over.
Yeah.
We know, but where?
Slaughter.com. Bring your Poultry Slaughter on Instagram and Twitter. Really neglect that Twitter.
Everyone does.
Facebook, either. Too. And then I have a personal account, Ed K.
Okay.
It's no beer on it, really.
Yeah?
Yeah. Mostly food pictures and me playing games.
Yeah, you're doing some weird things on that, but you know what? You live your life, bro.
It's just me, Brian.
Yeah.
If you can't accept me, then unfollow.
I feel like I've accepted you. Yeah. So I don't comment on that. I only ever comment on Bring Your Porter to Slaughter.
And
Stefan, where do we find you?
I'm at Socks Cover Feet. Socks spelled with an X. And then I also do the posting for Il Sauvage here at Il Sauvage Brewing. And yeah, I'm brewing beer and trying to cook food.
Oh, and What's Brewing Magazine. I'm in that too.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
Little Il Sauvage plug.
Oh, and you have to do one more plug too. But you can give the Il Sauvage plug.
Little Il Sauvage plug. Come and get 750s of Ravine. Rose Hip Blind Man Collab. It is fucking delicious.
We do like it.
It is really good.
We
There's
feel
some on top.
Though.
It is really good beer.
I have to plug something. I'm going to be a... just before we sign off here... I'm going to be the lead, or one of the two, and slash lead, I don't know, Cicerone on the Craft Beer and Wilderness trip in the spring, which is an amazing event if you're into beer and into food. Have you heard about this, Brian? It's a retreat.
I'm puzzled looking right now.
Okay, it is. I am so honored to have been invited and cannot fucking wait to go.
Cool.
But if you're into food and beer, like this is... something well worth looking into because it's a trip to Nootka Sound, includes day trips, fishing, and kayaking, stand-up paddleboarding, yoga, but then sandwiched in between all that is like...
Sandwiches?
sandwiches. Maybe more like Tim Hortons wraps? No, I'm joking, because they're actually... They hired real chefs.
Oh, shit.
And they hired Cicerones like me. And they're bringing brewers, including Ben Love from Gigantic.
Oh, shit.
Really?
Adam Henderson from Superflux is my co-cicerone on the trip.
Fucking Hendo.
I know. And it's like 5 days in Nootka of the best beer, the best food, the best fishing.
Nootka Sound is Washington?
No, it's north. It's you go up to Courtney and you take a ferry from Courtney. So it's like it's in off an island like in between... in the Georgia Strait between the mainland and the island.
The guy that runs it is just amazing.
Yeah,
too.
And
it's just, that's amazing.
I can't. It's going to be so much fun, and I really hope that like-minded people that are into food and beer want to come along because everything about it is just catered to.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Intrigued. Yes.
I'm big things on the horizon.
Sure.
Yeah.
Wife, none too happy, but I'm happy. Yeah.
We've got a lot of time to make up.
Exactly. Exactly. It was well in advance. So, okay. On that, we will sign off.
Thank you for listening.
We'll be back in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Getting ready for the illustrious weather.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. God. Brace your livers.
Night.